especially that last song, prepares us for what we're going to be studying together tonight. This morning, we talked about the importance of patience in living a stable and productive life. Tonight, I want to illustrate what patience looks like in our lives from the example of David. We're going to be looking at Psalm 27. But before we do that, I wanted to point out how practical patience is to our daily life. In fact, that's the reason why patience is found so often in the book of Proverbs, which is really a book about how to bring the wisdom of God to bear in your daily life. So let me show you a few things that the book of Proverbs says about patience. It tells us that when you keep your patience, it makes you wise. Proverbs 14, verse 29, "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." The book of Proverbs says that patience keeps you strong. Proverbs says, "He who is slow to anger is better than he who is mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes," it says down there where you can't see, "a city." And there he's talking about how we think that strong things are like armies. But he's saying patience, being able to control yourself, is a stronger strength than even an army that takes a city. And then it also tells us that patience will make you effective. Proverbs 25, verse 15, "By long forbearance a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone." In other words, when you keep at something, it makes you more effective at it, even when you're having to persuade somebody who is very much against what you're saying. And then fourth, keeping your patience gives God time to work. Proverbs 20, verse 21 says, "Do not say, 'I will recompense evil.' Wait for the Lord, and he will save you." Patience gives God time to work. But the book of Proverbs also warns us about the problems of losing our patience. For example, it says that losing our patience will ruin our relationships. "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention," keeps contention from happening. And then secondly, it says that when we lose our patience, it multiplies our sins. It says also, "It is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. He sins who hastens with his feet." And then, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." When we lack patience, it multiplies our sins and it takes away our security. Proverbs 21 and verse 5, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely leads to poverty." And so you can see that in the book of Proverbs, it really recommends patience for the practical aspects of daily life. But what I'd also like you to see before we get into the example of David is how important patience is to maintaining godly relationships. Open with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. And you may remember that in Rome, the church was having unity problems. The Jews and Gentiles were at each other's throats. And they were not respecting each other in the body of Christ. And so he spends chapter 14 talking about how they ought to yield to one another and maintain unity. And he carries that concept on in chapter 15. So look, if you will, at Romans 15, verse 1. He says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. But let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me.' For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Having the patience of Christ is going to be necessary to express towards one another so that we can have unity. We talked a little bit about this morning, that patience, endurance is essential maintaining relationships, and that is especially true in the church. But then I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that patience is also recommended for being essential for Christian service. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if we're going to be effective in our service for Christ, we have to have patience. So if you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice it says in verse 4, let's begin there. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in needs and in distresses, in strifes and imprisonments, in tumults and labors, in sleeplessness and in fastings. And the list goes on. What Paul is saying to us is that what made him effective in being a servant of Jesus Christ was being patient, to endure in his service, because there were many times in which there were tumults and labors and sleeplessness, and there were distresses and there were needs and there were tribulations. And what made him an effective servant of Jesus Christ was that he was patient. He endured. So what I hope you see, as what we try to emphasize this morning, is that patience is helpful for daily living. Patience is essential to maintaining relationships in the body of Christ. And patience is essential to being an effective servant of Jesus Christ. Now, what I'd like to do now tonight is give you an example of what patience looks like in the life of David. So if you have your Old Testaments, hope you do, open them with me to Psalm 27. We're going to see an example of David's patience. And you might not think of David right off of being a great example of godly patience, but he is. If you think about the fact that God sent Samuel to anoint David to be king, and he has been told by God's prophet, you're going to be the next king. And it didn't happen overnight. In fact, it didn't happen for a long, long time. And in fact, for over 15 years, it looked like it would never happen. Because not only is he not king, but he is on run for his life because the king and the armies of Israel are trying to hunt him down and kill him. You want to think about what it takes to have patience and endurance and to trust in the promises of God. Think about 15 years where you don't have a job. Where not only do you not have a job, you are on the run from the government. Not only are you on the run from the government, but all of the army of the government is trying to hunt you down so that they can kill you. Would you remain consistent and faithful in your service to God, and your faith in the Lord? David was. And Psalm 27 is a great description as to why David was persevering, why he was patient. And this psalm itself, I think, is a great description of what it takes to be patient. Because you know how a lot of the psalms, it will start with some kind of problem, and the psalmist will tell us how he turned to the Lord and he worshiped God and he heard the Lord's word. And as a result, his problem was solved and he rejoices in the Lord. Those are great psalms. Kind of had that arc of problem, solution, and rejoicing. Psalm 27 is not one of those. Psalm 27 is, I got a problem. God help me with my problem. And at the end, he's still waiting on the Lord. That's patience. In fact, the psalm ends with these words in verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I haven't seen it now, but I will. So I will wait for the Lord, verse 14, and be strong and take heart, and I will wait on the Lord. Let's read the psalm together. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in His dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of His sacred tent and set me high on a rock. And then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At His sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of You, seek His face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. I will not hide Your face. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God, my Savior. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. So teach me Your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I will remain confident in this. I will see goodness, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. One of the great phrases in the Old Testament that describes patience is that which we find in verse 14. Wait for the Lord. It's a great description of patience. And this psalm gives us a description of what caused David to have such great patience and endurance in his faith, even through the great difficulties in which his life went through. Let me show you those real quickly. First of all, if we're going to wait for the Lord, we need to delight in who He is. That's how to wait. You see, when we are waiting for something, a circumstance to change, a relationship to get better, our health to get better, our finances to get straightened out, it seems like all of that takes forever, doesn't it? And it seems like those things are never going to end. And we get our mind focused on people and we get our minds focused on circumstances and they all look so dark and discouraging. If we're going to be patient, I want to suggest to us, we need to fill our minds with an awareness of who God is. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. And that's how David begins there in verses 1 through 3. And notice how he describes the Lord. He describes Him as one who is, as he describes Him, my light. One of the things about waiting is fear about what's going to come. The reason we lose our patience is because we are afraid of what's going to happen. But the Lord is our light. You know, we sing that often, and we're going to sing it here in a minute. And we find in the New Testament that Jesus, in John chapter 1, is described as the light. And John, in 1 John, describes God as light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. We're familiar with this concept of God being light and that describing His truth and His purity. But do you know, this is the only place in all of the Old Testament that God is described as light. And what David is saying is that God is in His darkness while he's having to wait for his circumstance to change. The one ray of hope is God. God is His light. And He is the light in the sense that He reveals that this circumstance doesn't last forever. And He guides him in the way that he ought to go. And in times of waiting, we can think of that. That the Lord is our light. While everything else seems dark, His Word reveals to us this world is not our home. That our life is temporary. That God forgives our sins. And His Word becomes the path, the way of how to walk when life seems dark. The Lord is my light. And that helps me wait. But then he goes on and says, the Lord is also my salvation. So not only does he illuminate my darkness and direct the way I ought to go, he delivers me from my enemies. And David could testify, God was able to do that. Saul, a king of the nation, could not get David. There are some great stories of the time in which Saul was trying to kill David. You remember? And one of them is they're just yards away from each other and Saul doesn't know it. When all of a sudden God tells him, you go on this side of the mountain, and Saul goes on that side of the mountain, and Saul's completely oblivious that he's missed his opportunity to kill David. That's God. God delivers. And then he says, he is also my stronghold. He is the one in whom I take refuge. Now, while David said he experienced that in his life physically, you and I can say in Christ Jesus that we have experienced this spiritually. We don't live in darkness. We know that there is salvation from our sins because Jesus Christ has come and He is the light that brings life to all men. And because of Jesus Christ, we know about salvation. We know about heaven. We know that the temptations of this world will steal away our soul. We know that the trials of this world are temporary and they won't last forever. The Lord is our light. And He has delivered us from our sins. He is our salvation. And He is our stronghold in which we take refuge when sin has tripped us up and when trials are weighing heavy upon us. Oh, how we can say much more than David. The Lord is my delight. Now, when you're waiting and you get discouraged and all you can see is darkness, you need to think about who God is and delight in Him. And then you need to add to that a realization of what God has done. Not just of what the Bible affirms about God, but what you have proven in your life that God is. What He has done. Verse 2 is actually in the past tense in the original language. When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it was my enemies and my foes who stumbled and fell. That's in the past tense in the original. And what David is saying is that I have confidence in my trial that God will be my salvation, my stronghold, and my light because He's done it in the past. And you know, there have been a number of times in these last few years that as I face difficult events in my life and difficult events in this church and with people that I was trying to study with, that I would go home and as I would talk with Jennifer, I would say these words. I'm glad I've lived a few years. I'm glad I've lived a few years. Because those same events I've encountered before. Those same challenges I've faced. those same difficulties with teaching someone or seeing a Christian take a worldly turn. I've seen those before. And when I saw them the first time, I'll tell you, they just took me unawares. I didn't know what to do. I felt lost. I felt hopeless. But what I have found is that God's truth does work. And when God's people do it, it helps them and it changes their life. And I've seen that when circumstances go bad, God is worthy. He is trustworthy to support, to strengthen, to not keep the devil from destroying me. That when Jesus told me to pray, "Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one," that God does do it. And you know, I'm glad I've lived a few years. And David says he is too. And that's why he could wait. And then he says he has confidence in what the Lord will do. Verse 3, that if an army comes my way again, if a war breaks out against me, I'm confident. I have confidence of what the Lord will do. So number one, if you're going to be patient, get your eyes off of your circumstances. Get your eyes off of your feelings and turn them on the Lord and have a realization, a delight is the word I'm trying to get here. Have a delight in who the Lord is and what the Lord does and a delight in what you are confident that the Lord will do. And it helps you wait. Second thing that helps you wait is what David calls in verse 4, seeking the Lord. This one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek. And what David is seeking here is the presence of the Lord. He talks here a number of times in verses 4 through 6 about the tabernacle. And the reason he talks about the tabernacle is that in the Old Testament is where God placed His presence among His people. When you went to the tabernacle, that's where you heard His word read. When you went to the tabernacle, that's when the sacrifices were made. When you went to the tabernacle, that's where you met with other people who were trying to live for the Lord too. And one of the things that helps us wait is when we seek the Lord in worship with His people. Unfortunately, when we get discouraged and we don't have patience and we don't have endurance, what do? We quit worshiping God and we quit meeting with God's people. And that's a recipe for failure. If we're going to endure, we need to seek the Lord, as David puts it here. And think about the encouragement we get from that. Brothers and sisters, we've already been together once. Today's our second opportunity to do it. Think about the blessing we have. That we've come together and we're looking at each other in the face and what we're saying is, I'm living for the Lord and you keep at it too. We said that all morning, didn't we? And then we came together and we took the Lord's Supper together and we remembered the sacrifice, not of us, but of our God who loved us so much He gave His only Son for us. That's how much He loves us. There is no situation hopeless because God loves us. And then we have worshiped together. We have sung these songs. We have prayed prayers. We've had great talks around the Lord's table. We have reminded ourselves the Lord is worthy to live for. How blessed we are. How dare we go out this week and somehow get discouraged and give up on the Lord when we've had this opportunity to seek His presence. But not only did he seek God's presence, he sought God's protection. In verses 5 through 6, David talks about his protection being in the presence of God. Now, when David in verses 5 and 6 talks about the tent, the tabernacle, it's kind of funny because while he's on the run from Saul, he's not able to go to the tabernacle. because Saul has control of where that is. David's not even able to flee to the cities of refuge. There were six of them in the nation of Israel that you could go and find freedom. He wasn't able to go there. Saul had control of them. And yet, David felt safe in the presence of God. That he sought that safety that only was found in God's presence. And you know, he could have gone to the tabernacle and Saul would have killed him. He could have gone to a city of refuge and Saul would have killed him. But if he was in a cave in the presence of God, Saul couldn't touch him. That is what gave him confidence to wait, is that his God was his protection wherever he was. Let me read you this from the New Testament. Romans 8 and verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? David is saying we can have that kind of confidence of God's protection because of what He has done to bring us close in Jesus Christ. So, two things. If we're going to wait on the Lord, we need to delight in who He is. And then we need to seek His presence. Don't give up meeting with God's people. Worship God. Learn about God. Remember His sacrifice and be confident of His protection. And then the third thing we see in verses 7 through 12 is pray. And isn't that what the New Testament tells us to do? If you're anxious, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. How do you handle fear? When you're waiting and you're thinking about giving up, how do you handle that? You pray to God. And notice what he says here in his prayers. First of all, please note that his prayers were penitent. He says things like, "Be merciful to me, O God. Please do not reject me." Sometimes when we're having to wait, we have prayers that are accusatory against God. And what we forget is that we're the ones in need of mercy. Because we are the ones, because of our own choices and our own sins, that have disjointed ourselves from a fellowship with God. If we want God's help, we plead from those who need mercy. We are not the master who calls upon God, "Serve me. Do what I want. Accomplish my will." A prayer that helps you wait is one that remembers, "I need your mercy. Please do not reject me." And the delight we have is we have a God who is merciful and abounding in grace, who hears every prayer. Be penitent. And then notice, though, that he is honest. He does tell God, "I feel like I am abandoned." He says, "I feel like even my parents have abandoned me." So he is honest about how he feels. And so he asks God in verse 11, "Please teach me and please lead me." Notice the progression of David's prayer. By the way, it's a whole lot like the Lord's model prayer. But what he does is he begins by saying, "Lord, please have mercy upon me. I know that I am asking you the lesser, asking the greater, please help. And Father, I want you to know what my problem is. My problem is I feel like I'm abandoned. I feel like I'm all alone." That's sometimes where we end our prayers. And that's called living in darkness, is what that is. Where we just pray and complain. But notice he doesn't end there. He says, "I feel like I'm abandoned. I feel like you've turned your back on me. I feel like even my mother and father have rejected me. But teach me your ways and lead me in the way that I should go." In other words, I'm not going to stay here. Yes, I feel like I'm living in the darkness. I am having to wait, and it seems like it is lasting forever, and I may be giving into discouragement, but I'm not going to stay here. Teach me, Lord, how to think differently, and then lead me, and I'll act differently. Isn't that so helpful? What does it mean to endure? What does it mean to have patience? It means you remember how good God is. Delight in the Lord. It means that you seek the Lord's presence. You want to learn more about Him, remember His sacrifice, and fellowship with His people. And then it means that you pray to God. You pour out humbly your petition, and then you ask Him to change your heart and change your behavior. And then you keep on to where you can say, like David says in verses 13 and 14, I will remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. It's like he's talking to his own heart. Wait for the Lord and be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. I think there's going to be times in which we're all going to be needing to do that. And maybe even this week. So remember those practical principles. We need to delight in the Lord. We need to seek His presence. And we need to pray that we wouldn't be changed in our thinking and our actions. Now the reason all of that is important is what we started with. It's what leads to a wise and godly life. And that kind of patience is what leads to real relationships and real service for the Lord. That's why it's so important. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the gospel, we'd love for you to today take an opportunity for God's patience towards you to repent of your sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that He, God, can take away your sins. And today you can leave knowing that God's patience has spelled your salvation. If you need to do that today, please come as we stand and sing.